Welcome back, everybody, to Rantpocalypse Talks The Walking Dead. I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Kelly, and we are a mother in sin. You know what? No. We have waited long enough to do this tonight. We're going with that screw up.
Yeah, we're going with that screw up. I'm the sin. Apparently, yeah, I'm the sin. I don't know what that's saying. If I'm the sin,
no,
does that mean that you had me out of wedlock or something? Is that what's going on?
I do not care what stories were told. That is not true.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. This is gonna be. We both have to apologize up front. This is gonna probably be the most awkward podcast that we may have ever done.
We've done some awkward podcasts.
We've done some awkward ones before. I barely have a voice.
Yeah.
You are sick as well.
Yes.
And, I mean, right now, just the intro to the podcast, I'm like, oh, shit, it's going away.
I can hear that, and we have all these notes and all these things we want to talk about, and I'm thinking, it's not happening. Yeah. We may have to go to the Reader's Digest version, and I don't know if you kids know what that means, but that's condensed.
The condensed version? Well, yes. I think that my version of the kids know it as the Cliff's Notes.
That's true.
That's what I know, the condensed version.
That's you fancy college folks.
Yeah, let me get those Cliff Notes, please. I've got, in honor of my main man, I've got Sir Glenn Ree of Clan...
The Atlanta Rees.
Yeah, the Atlanta Rees clan. I miss my boy. I love this coffee mug so much. It's probably one of my favorite coffee mugs of all time that I never drink coffee in because I don't drink coffee.
Yeah.
But it's got The Walking Dead on the back and my boy Glenn. He's all cartoon characterized. I love it so much.
And who gave that to you?
I'm pretty sure you did, Mom.
I'm pretty sure I did, too.
You're the best.
There was a character tonight just from a distance had... clothing that kind of reminded me of Glenn.
Yeah.
In one of the scenes, and I was like, "Oh, dang! I wish it was him."
Was this a character in the episode, or was this a character in the preview for next week's episode?
No, it was in this episode.
Oh, was it somebody at the Kingdom, or?
I think it was somebody maybe at the Hilltop. I don't remember at this point.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because. As I was driving home today, which I have a bad habit, people. I'm sorry. I apologize. And this is the funny part about this is, I have a bad habit of watching stuff in my car. Mm-hmm. That's the bad habit. And number two is I bought my car this model specifically for the fact that my iPhone fits perfectly in this like little console area.
Right. Right.
It's amazing. It was built just for that. I know a lot of people say it was built to put like your little knickknacks in and stuff, or maybe like some CDs if you're feeling like you want to go old school with some CDs in your car. Mm-hmm. But no, it fits perfectly for my iPhone. And so I watched The Walking Dead on it as I'm driving to and from work because I've got a little bit of a commute. It's about 45 minutes to sometimes an hour of a commute.
Which is perfect for The Walking Dead.
Yeah, oh, it's perfect. And especially this episode that we're going to be fully discussing. It was amazingly perfect for that because the episode, I believe, is right at 52 minutes. So it was just glorious. But you were talking about seeing somebody that reminded you of Glenn, me with the coffee mug that, you know, definitely reminds me of my dear, sweet, beloved Glenn.
Yeah.
But as I was driving home, I'm watching the show and... You know, I'm loving this episode. I've seen it three times now, and I really, mm-hmm. really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
But damn it, if it's not missing Glenn, like it's just there's still a huge, massive crater ass hole.
Yep.
In the world of The Walking Dead, where Glenn and Abraham are no longer in it, and I don't know if I'm ever gonna get over it.
How are they gonna fill that? Because obviously they can't leave us like that forever. I mean, it lacks. A lot of warmth without like a Glenn character.
Yeah.
So who's going to step up and be that?
I don't know. Cause we don't have the Herschel anymore. We don't have mm-hmm. the Glenn anymore. I guess the closest one that I could see to being that at this point is Aaron, right? Is that who you would say?
Yeah.
I think
Aaron brings a lot of warmth. I think Jesus could eventually sort of fill that spot. But I like your pick better, Aaron. Because, I don't know, Jesus was a little odd for me in this episode. It wasn't Jesus so much as, I don't know, maybe something about the writing. He seemed a little, it just seemed off.
I can see a little bit of that. There was definitely some moments whenever they first came up to the kingdom with Rick, and they were having this discussion before Richard and a random dude came up and, you know, to speak with Jesus and to allow them into the kingdom. And they had some dialogue going back and forth between Jesus, Rick, and I believe it may have been Daryl or somebody.
Yeah.
You know, about, are we there yet? Well, we're here, but we're always here. We're at the kingdom. And I'm just, yeah, that was like some wonky ass dialogue, no doubt about it.
I thought that was some deep shit myself. I thought, you know, I mean, because he says, yeah, we're here. Well, I mean, we're always here, but now we're yeah, anyway, I thought it was pretty deep.
Was that along the lines of the here not here? Is that what you're going
for? Yeah, here not here.
I'll give you that one, Mom.
Okay.
You know, that's plus one for Jesus right there. But yeah, they're probably similar characteristics between Jesus and Aaron. What I like about Aaron is he is to me a nice moral compass of the group, but he also does what needs to get done in order to protect the greater group. And that's something that Glenn would have always done. Now, the Abraham hole, I don't know. I don't know if it'll ever be filled. Jerry, he's funny, but he's not, you know, not Abe funny.
Right.
Negan is funny, but, you know, we got to hate him right now. So it's hard for him to fill that Abraham role.
I think he has some of the exact same lines. He's... exactly the same as what Abe would have given. That's why I feel like they had to kill Abe off so that they can, you know, the writers are like, I can't come up with double goodies like that. So,
yes. Yeah, that's very true. Well, I don't know how we would have got on to an Abraham and Glenn conversation, but that's just because
we miss them.
Yeah, we really do miss them. And especially in episodes like this where it is fun, it's upbeat, it's a little bit lighter than what we saw in the first half of season 7, and that would have been usually those moments where we would have had a really sweet, tender moment with Glenn and Maggie, and we would have had a really funny, dolphin smooth, my nuts itch, or, you know, loose nut hairs, or something along
who's
those lines.
Who's Ezekiel?
I mean, come on, we needed a who's Ezekiel. That was what was missing from this episode. That was why, you know, I had to give it a 4 out of 5 instead of a 5 out of 5.
Because right.
We had no who's Ezekiel in this episode. But what we're going to discuss in this podcast for this episode,
yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that, but the topics are going to be, did Father Gabriel betray the group? I don't know. We'll discuss that. How will Gregory react to his people throwing in with Maggie and Sasha? I don't feel like this is being discussed enough out there because, you know, Gregory's a great character, but he could go some very interesting ways. So we're going to discuss that. And then we're going to get into what is going to make Ezekiel join Team Rick? What will have to happen in order for Ezekiel to say, we are going to be with you. We're going to, you know, the time is nigh. And we're going to join Rick in the group. And then, why was Rick smiling? Thoughts in the new group. And we're going to get into the Zompocalypse Fantasy 5. We're going to give an update on how Bad Bitches and a Dixon is doing. And Team My Two Dads is doing. Who's winning? Me or my mom? I don't know.
You'll have to wait to find out.
We may have to duke it out for the final winner there. And then we're going to get into some quick listener feedback as well. So, I say we get right into it because, yes, we have had some major fun issues with trying to get this recording to work. OBS, you was a bastard. My computer, you was a double bastard.
Fingers crossed that we get to finish.
Yeah, fingers crossed that you get to see this at this point right now.
No. You'll see whatever gets recorded. if it cuts off in mid-sentence, well, fuck it. Who cares? That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah. At this point, that's all that really matters, that something gets put up.
Exactly.
No doubt about that. All right. So let's get right into the first topic of, do you think Father Gabriel betrayed the group? How do you feel about what old Father G did at the beginning of this episode, where he steals everything in the pantry, takes off in that car? What are you thinking, Mom?
I think he was made to take off.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. I feel like he's come way too far. He worked really, really hard to get their confidence to make them leave their children with him. I feel like he had no idea that, I don't know, maybe that somebody was there to knock him over the head or what the deal was. Because when he went into the pantry, mm-hmm. He's like, he was on watch. And, yeah. And he's reading his Bible and he's, reading a passage and then kind of going, yeah, I get that. I like that. Good job, Jesus. You know? But then when he goes into the pantry, there's a ton of noise.
Yeah, there's a loud crash.
Right, and at first I thought, well, dadgum, dude, if you're gonna take all the food, why would you be so loud about it? Somebody's gonna hear you. But that's when I kind of feel like maybe somebody jumped out at him.
Yeah, no, I 1,000% agree. It's really tough for me I know we watched the episode together, mm-hmm. and whenever we were watching the episode, we didn't notice that there was another figure in that car. It was just really hard to see. We were watching it on iTunes, and yeah, didn't notice that there was another figure in that car. So once you put two and two together, you see whenever Father Gabriel goes out to that car, he gets in the car, he starts driving off, and then all of a sudden, it was like so weird. It was like, they weren't there, and then they're just they creepily come up as the car is like driving away. It was very awkward. So mm-hmm. I think that right there dispels any questions of, Father Gabriel's, honor and the fact that he is loyal to the group. Because, no doubt about it, Father G has come a long ass way. He is a badass dude. And he, Rick, it's funny because the only one really defending him mm-hmm. was Rick Grimes. And think about that whenever you go back to whenever they first meet Father Gabriel and how poorly he was treated by Rick. And even in season 6, how he's like ripping his signs down and shit.
Gabriel's like, hey, prayer meeting.
Yeah.
Rick, no, there's not going to be a prayer meeting. Yeah. Just walking behind him and tearing him down. So yeah, I loved when he defended him.
Yeah, it was great.
I thought that was awesome. And yeah, I don't know if it's just the, if my TV's just too dark, but it was really hard for me to, I really had to concentrate to see somebody in that car.
It was really quick. I mean, it was literally, he starts driving off and then like 1 second, maybe 2 seconds at max is whenever it showed that person coming up a little, coming up in the car in the passenger side. I don't think he was in the passenger seat. I think he was in the behind the driver and passenger seats in the back seat. Kind of like how, if you rob a car and you like, they get in the driver's seat, they think everything's okay. And then all of a sudden somebody pulls up a gun behind their head, which is not cool. So I honestly think it's the person with the boots. I think that's what's going on, because remember how we left off in episode 8? That was like that cliffhanger ending of, we see somebody looking out over Alexandria and we see that shot of the boots. And I think that just played right into it.
Yes.
Like it was just a continuation from episode 8. The person that's in the boots came in. They knocked out Father Gabriel, like you're saying, in the pantry and everything. Just because I think it all goes back to that little note that was left on the boat.
Right.
The congrats for winning, but you still lose.
Right.
We didn't know what that was at first, but now I think we do, right?
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, he leaves, Gabriel left a note saying boat. At least we assume that was him that wrote that in the in Olivia's breakdown of where everything was. Yeah. So it looked like to me some of the weapons that were mm-hmm. still stashed.
Yeah.
That some of those people in that group that surround Rick and the rest of the gang at mm-hmm. the end, it looked like they had some of those weapons to me.
They could have very well already got some of those weapons. I don't know. I am a little bit confused on that. That was the only point in the whole Father Gabriel getting, you know, potentially kidnapped type of thing that I wasn't sure on of who wrote boat in that notepad. Because, you know, we didn't see it on screen that Rick and Aaron said, oh, we found this boat full of supplies. They never really said, like, where they got the supplies, at least as far as I can remember. So I don't know how Father Gabriel would have known boat.
Whoever the person was said, look, you know, your people came and stole everything from my boat.
It could be that. Like, that's kind of where my thought process was going, was like, okay, maybe this individual, honestly, maybe they wrote boat on there so that way they would come looking for them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's the only big mystery to me, because I think the thought behind Father Gabriel betraying, I think that is busted. I don't think that's true at all. I definitely think that he was coerced into getting all the supplies and everything. The one thing that I really liked that I noticed, I don't know if this meant anything, but whenever Father Gabriel, whenever he, you know, he's getting the stuff and he's, you know, he's definitely being rushed to grab all the items and everything.
Right.
And he checks in Olivia's notepad, like you were saying, mm-hmm. and he says, just checking. And it looked to me like maybe he was checking to make sure that those supplies wasn't inventoried yet. Because if they were inventoried, then whenever Simon or Negan or whoever came, they would have another scenario where, you know, it's like, hey, this is on the inventory. Where the hell is this weapon at? That kind of stuff. Because it looked like there wasn't anything there, which we know that they had a lot of stuff that they had just come upon from that boat.
Right.
So I don't know. And that was another like telltale sign to me that he wasn't trying to betray them. He was just, you know, hey, this sucks, but I need to double check really quickly to make sure that if Negan or Simon comes along, that, you know, hey, I'm going to have to plead my case to whoever this person is that's forcing him to do this. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited to find out, you know, what's going on here, but no way in H-E double hockey sticks
exactly
did Father Gabriel betray his main boo, Rick Grimes.
So, his baby daddy.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
And where is Judith, by the way?
I don't know. I don't know where Judith is at all. Who knows? Judith, you know, she's there when it's convenient for her to be in the scene.
Yes, exactly.
You know? I wanted to close out this Father Gabriel discussion with some comments from some of our listeners.
You're touched by the fact that we have listeners.
I am touched, and I'm halfway dying. I'm on a good cocktail of drugs lately.
Let me do this. Am I actually
you're not
hitting
even,
you on
you're
the?
Not even, you're like you got like some kind of hand problem.
I'm trying not to. I'm not trying to make my.
To there you go. Now pat me. You're patting me on the face. and it looked like you had some like really small hand that you're like, you know, you're like,
let me get my strong hand on you. Yeah, let me put it in the mashed potatoes. Oh God, that baby hand thing.
Oh no, yeah, that baby
very
hand.
Hand.
Scary movie or whatever. That's probably one of the grossest things I've ever seen.
I know,
in a movie.
That's
he's
so
just
disgusting.
Like,
yeah,
he's just like dipping it in there. Yeah. It was so gross. But Andrew had this to say. He said, Father Gabriel hasn't betrayed the group. In episode 8, when Gabriel was in the car with Spencer and got out, I think he found these people and asked them to help them. Then they said, we need food, so he got them as a bargaining chip. He even hinted at it when talking with Rosita. Now, I don't know what Andrew's referring to whenever he hinted at it talking with Rosita. I don't know about whether or not Father Gabriel has reached out to these people already. I think that, you know, I definitely think he was forced at this point, because mainly just because the way his facial expressions were. Now, not saying that Andrew couldn't be right on this, because maybe, you know, maybe it was one of those instances where he's like, you know, I got to get these supplies to them because they said they were going to help us out if I got them supplies. And he didn't want anybody to find out that he was, you know, taking the stuff. And that's why he was like sweating and stuff.
Taking all the food to me is...
Yeah, that would be a real dick move.
Right, exactly. So you'd have to really want somebody to help out a lot.
Yes,
so.
a lot. Now, they do have a lot of people. They do have the numbers, as Rick Grimes likes to say.
Yep.
Robin says, no, I don't think Father Gabriel betrayed the group. I think Boots put him up to what he did.
Yep.
With you, Robin, on that one. Mm-hmm. And then Mr. Midnight, a.k.a. Aaron Sharp, he said, after watching a few times, I did see the person pop up in the car when Gabriel left Alexandria. Slight spoiler alert for episode 10, because there's been a teaser trailer that's come out. And he, Mr. Midnight, said, did you see Gabriel's car in the aerial shot of the junkyard?
No. I saw that comment after. I hadn't had a chance to go back and look, but see, I do feel like that there's a connection between, just when I saw the weapons, to me they look like a lot of the axes and, you know, or hatchets, as we like to call it on this show. So anyway,
I didn't see the shot. I did not see the shot of his car, but I absolutely love the thought of this whole junkyard, and we'll get into a little bit more of the junkyard dog gang kids group bunch. Here in a little bit, when we talk about Why Was Rick Smiling and the new group. So hold on to that thought right there. And if you're watching this video as a separate video, make sure you watch the other video where we talk about the new group and everything. And if you're listening to this in audio form, you're getting it all.
Yeah,
right,
all
there
in
for you.
One big juicy nugget.
Yeah, just a big old juicy, greasy nugget. makes you real hungry, and then you got to have some Pepto with it on top. Okay, all right, so on to the next topic.
All right. Next topic!
Yes, getting on Sir Gregory. And what do you think he's going to do, and how do you think he's going to react to his people, you know, aligning themselves with Maggie and Sasha, as we saw, I think it was Birdie, came up to Maggie and Sasha and said, you know, hey, are you guys gonna, you're gonna fight Negan? You're gonna fight the Saviors? Well, we're in. And we know Gregory is not about that whatsoever.
Yeah.
So how do you think he's gonna react to this? And what do you think he's gonna do?
I think he's gonna be pissed off, obviously, because he thinks he's the king. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot that he's going to be able to do about it. I mean, dude, in my opinion, seems extremely wussy. I don't think he ever goes out of the house, because he's always got that suit on.
Yeah,
so,
that's very true.
You know, it doesn't matter to me what he thinks. It really just doesn't, because I don't feel like his people give a two rats patooties. I was gonna
two rats patooties. What is a patootie, Mom?
I think it's the same thing.
A Webster's definition of a patootie.
Patootie is the fancy word for ass.
Oh, is it ass? Okay, yeah. I didn't know if it was like poop or something, but
no, it's ass.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Two
rats
two,
ass.
Two rats asses.
He doesn't give a rat's ass times two.
Oh, okay. Well, that definitely means a lot. When you times it by two,
yep,
that really
that's a lot.
Means
that's
you know,
a
that,
lot.
That drives home the point of you just do not give a crap at all. I think the thing about it is Gregory's dangerous. You know, we don't see him as dangerous because, yes, he is a wuss. No doubt about that. I can't see him living long in this world if he had to leave his manor and actually go fend for himself. I could be wrong. You know, maybe he's some badass in disguise, and he's, you know, totally playing it off, and push comes to shove, and he's out there just, you know, killing one walker left and right. But I don't think that's the case.
He was the one that taught Jesus all those ninja skills. It was actually, it was Gregory that taught him that.
It was Gregory. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That's his cheese man?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
What I am worried about is, you know, we talked about the fact that in the synopsis that somebody is going to go to the dark side. Somebody mm-hmm. is going to betray the group ultimately. Shameless plug for my video about Eugene. I discussed Eugene, you know, because I was trying to think outside the box because Gregory's too easy. You know, we definitely feel like Gregory is a snake. He's a worm. He's going to do something at some point. And I'm really worried that Negan's going to make a visit to the hilltop, because it sounds like Negan looks at Gregory and he's just like, you're not even worth my time of coming there. But I do feel like at some point he's going to make a trip to the hilltop, and I feel like Gregory is going to fold because he's going to start seeing more and more the shift towards it's Maggie Green's hilltop instead of Gregory's hilltop. And I think that he may backstab him and out them to Negan. And that's not going to be good, because they right now they're trying to build up their forces. And if that, you know, something throws a wrench in that, a la Gregory talking to Negan about ripping the group, you know, that's not going to be good for them.
You were completely right. I hadn't even thought about that fact that he could very well be the one that busts this whole thing apart. Because he is. He's just slimy. There's nothing about him I like other than hating him.
Yeah. Oh, I love to hate him. Yeah. I mean, Xander Berkeley is just destroying it.
Yes.
After watching the episode three times, that's some of my favorite scenes in the mm-hmm. episode to go back to, is those quick little moments between him and Rick and Sasha and Daryl and Maggie and everything. He's just fantastic. And I honestly think that, you know, Negan took Spencer out because he didn't like that. He didn't like the fact that somebody would go behind the leader's back and try to betray them. But I feel like it would be a different instance with Gregory. I think that he knows that he would want to have somebody like Gregory in place, because Gregory's going to fall in line and he's going to do everything that he says. So I don't feel like if Gregory was to come out in defiance of Rick and Maggie and everybody and try to throw them under the bus, I feel like Negan would reward that, you know, maybe give him a night out with some of his lady friends that he has back at the sanctuary.
You do feel like he would reward it? Is that what you just said?
I do. I think Negan would reward Gregory where, you know, in the other example, he gutted Spencer.
I feel like surely Negan knows that Gregory is not the one. I mean, he made the deal with Gregory, but Gregory's not the one that's doing any of the work. That was one of the things that Negan liked about Rick, was Rick is out there getting him stuff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm not sure if I completely agree with you there, but that's okay. That's what makes it more fun.
That's true. What do you guys think? Do you think that Gregory is going to betray the group? And do you think that he's going to reach out to Negan and let them... you know, let Negan in on some of the details of what's been going on around the hilltop with Maggie being there? Because that would be really crappy, because we know that Negan still doesn't know that Maggie is there. He thinks that she's dead.
She's dead. Yeah, exactly. So, and he does not like finding people alive after they're supposed to already be.
Exactly. Doesn't matter if it's 2 years from now.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
2 weeks, 2 years. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Let us know what you guys think about that. I'd be curious to hear you guys' thoughts on just everything Gregory. So let us know in the comment box down below or on Gmail. It's rantpocalypse@gmail.com. All right. So moving on. Our third topic for this week's episode is King Ezekiel did not join forces with Ricky Grimes in this episode, much to the chagrin of all of us. We thought, oh my God, the stars are aligning.
Yes.
The Kang is going to join Rick. But he said, I'm going to make a hard pass on
he
this
made
one
a,
this time.
He made a hard pass because Morgan said, nah, I don't think so. Don't think you want to do that.
Oh, man. Remind me that I've got to get to a comment from one of our awesome listeners that he's been around for a long time, from Corey. So don't let me forget.
Because when I read Corey's comment, this was my face.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Because I was like, oh, damn, I'm not replying. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He threw down some shit at Rick Grimes.
He
that's
did.
For sure. But yeah, so he didn't join him. And this one, it kind of irks me a little bit. And it kind of worries me because I don't want them to draw this out tremendously. Because we know at some point along the way, King Ezekiel is going to join Rick. They're going to have to join forces and everything. And so I'm wondering what is going to happen in order for King Ezekiel to change his mind and actually join Rick and the group against Negan, you know, to combine their forces. So what I'm worried about mostly is we got this amazingly poignant speech from Ben in this episode. Like, I mean, holy crap. Like, dude was dropping wisdom bombs all over Ezekiel. And it was weird because, you know, he didn't ultimately make that decision because I believe Ben, you know, he said something along the lines of, you know, they will have saved us and we did
nothing.
If we don't join them. And that's a really hard truth to swallow for somebody like King Ezekiel that's the leader of this group of, you know, they know the saviors are bad news. They know the saviors have got to ultimately go in order for, if Ezekiel ever wants to branch out like he was talking about again, and he wants to build up new communities similar to the kingdom, because let's face it, the kingdom is the shit. Like, it's the best community out of all of them, no doubt about it. What I'm worried about is that the writers are going to go down that path of killing Ben off in order to coerce King Ezekiel into joining with Rick, and I'm not gonna like that at all.
No, that's it. Really will suck, and I think that there's probably a distinct possibility that that's the way they're gonna go. Because I mean, think about it. That's gonna get Ezekiel pissed off. That's also gonna, you know, make Carol mad. Although at this point, still Carol doesn't know about Glenn and Abraham, and she gives a shit about Spencer, but you know.
She did like Olivia.
Yeah, she did like Olivia. So she doesn't know about that. That may help get her back into the fold.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I'm afraid that they're going to kill Ben because he's a character that all of a sudden they have given him a nice little story and we like him. He's the big brother. He's got good things to say. He's trying to, you know, he's going out and trying to make himself more valuable to the community by going out and training. And yeah,
man, they best not do that, because that is definitely the Walking Dead's MO of, you know, a character is kind of a more background character. And then all of a sudden one episode, they start stepping up a little bit more and then boom, poof, one or two episodes later, some walkers like ripping their guts out or, you know, they get shot in the head with an arrow a la Denise.
I think more than likely it'll be during one of the when they come to pick up a tribute, when the saviors come to pick up a tribute.
Yeah,
because we do know that you know, eventually Richard. I think we see it in one of the previews. They call him out. Well, I mean, it's they have the, you know,
the little showdown.
Uh-huh. So
yeah, they have the 1-2 switch showdown.
Do you like my what you would call that, you know?
They're got things in their face.
he's got one of those things and he's got one of those things and they point those things at each other. So and it would be even worse if Ben was caught in the middle of that and was the one that got hurt. So
well, I didn't the thing is about that, I didn't see Ben in that preview, because that is for episode 10 where we see that they're having another drop off and the same douchebag guy that got into an argument with Richard before, where they got into a fist fight, he's back again. He's like, I want your gun.
Yeah, I don't think you should have a gun.
Yeah.
That guy's such a loser.
Yeah, he is definitely a loser. And see, I think that's the other thing that could spur King Ezekiel into action is if Richard gets killed.
That's true.
But I don't think that Richard is going to get killed right then. I don't know, because the way that they broke out that teaser trailer for next week's episode, it looks like we're going to have a Richard v. Morgan riff here. Like, they're going to have a little rift between the two of them, because at this point, we have Richard on one side, and we have Morgan on the other. And we can already see that King Ezekiel looks to Morgan's council quite a bit, even though he's a new member of the kingdom. He's basically the one that I think ultimately, you know, nixed King Ezekiel from joining, because Richard's like, you know, hey, let's kill these motherfuckers right now.
Right.
And so the way that they frame some of the shots for the teaser trailer next week is, you know, we see what looks like Richard giving Morgan the side eye, because, you know, I think that he's, you know, King Ezekiel is taking more advice from Morgan, and Morgan's more along the lines of, let's not go to war, well, let's, you know, have an alternative here.
Right. And I didn't disagree with Morgan's way of thinking with what he said. I mean, I completely understand. He's found a spot that, good God, it's heaven on earth in the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Why would you want to mess that up and, you know, to try to come up with a different idea? I get it. I don't want it to be where it where Rick and Morgan, I'd like it when they get along. So
yes, I do as well. It's not fun when they don't get along. They're two badasses,
right,
in their own right. Maybe one has, you know, this way of doing things, the other one has his way of doing things. I don't think either one of them is wrong in their thinking. But to me, whenever you know, they're like peanut butter and jelly, people. I mean, you mix them together and they're the best thing on earth.
It's delicious.
Yeah, it is crazy delicious. Mm-hmm. My biggest thing is I don't want Ben to have to be sacrificed on the show in order to spur Ezekiel into action. I don't really want Richard either, because I think Richard would be fun to see in this big war battle that's going to come here pretty soon.
He's on my fantasy team, I need him to stay alive.
Yeah, you need his ass to stay alive. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to chime in with what Corey had to say about this, and you can go chime in as well. You can either comment down below on YouTube, or you can find us on Facebook. It's The Ranting Dead. Corey said, the fact that Morgan suggested the same thing that all of us have been wondering. What happens if you cut the head off the snake and get Negan out of the picture? Will the saviors still fight? How many of them? It's the obvious first move to make. Even if they still have to fight, getting rid of Negan only makes the war easier to fight. Wile E. Coyote, I mean Rick, should have listened to Morgan instead of just making that shitty little face that he made. So, like
that's,
you said,
that's where I went.
You know, you talking about my main man Rick Grimes?
You're so nice. You went to our Facebook page and you commented on our Facebook page, and I don't want to have to tell you, hey man, step back. You know,
You see my man over here. I got see him right now.
You can't see him, but I got two Ricks in here.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of little Ricks over there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. He likes the big Ricks a little bit more.
I do.
I guess I can read back what I said to Corey, because I think I made the best point that I could make in that, because I do. I love the comparison that Corey, you know, makes in his thoughts about Rick and being Wile E. Coyote, because Wile E. Coyote, if you've ever watched the Roadrunner, you know, cartoons and everything, constantly does the same thing over and over again with the same results. And
he expects a different one.
Yeah, he does. He you know, that's the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And, you know, as much as I love my main man, Rick, he definitely, you know, goes back to that well quite often.
That was part of my problem with this episode.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, I do want to hear your response to him, but I love this episode. And I'm super excited that we're getting Rick again.
Yeah.
that we've got the old Rick and that he wants to fight. But I'm a little bit worried with the way he's going about it that, I mean, they've seen the numbers.
Yeah.
They've got to get so many more people. And I do know that's why he had the little smile on his face at the very end. But
yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I guess I'm still nervous. I don't want Rick to do the old Rick and just jump out there before he should.
Yeah, before formulating a very good strategic plan.
Yes, strategery. Right? We need some strategery.
Yeah, he definitely needs some strategery this time. You know, he thought he had some strategery whenever he took out that outpost. Realized really quickly that he didn't have the right strategery.
Yep.
So. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he's going to. I think he's being smart right now. I do see, you know, he definitely made a face at Morgan. There's no doubt about that. There's no blood loss between them on the differences of their ideologies at this point. You know, Rick's stuck in his ways. Morgan's stuck in his ways, and you know, Morgan kind of crossed over to Rick's side a little bit in episode 8 whenever, you know, he killed that guy. Like he realized that I can't go over there and give him a hug and saying it's going to be all better and, you know, we can piece this thing out.
Right.
No, he had to kill that guy. And so I think that Morgan is more closely aligned to Rick than Rick thinks Morgan is. Does that make sense? Like,
no.
I think that whenever Morgan recommends this or says, you know, hey, maybe we think about this way of doing things, I don't know if he's necessarily saying, hey, let's not kill Negan, but if we can sacrifice one life to save all these other lives, why do we not do that instead of saying, hey, Negan, hey, saviors, we're going to punch you all in the face. We're going to try to kill all of you. Instead, go on some, you know, sneak attack mission and take Negan out that way. So I think, you know, Morgan's way of doing things is not the incorrect way. It's just very difficult. And that's what I talked to Corey about whenever I replied back to him, is just the fact that we see Rick Grimes. He was there. You know, he was there in the shit scene. Glenn and Abraham get their skulls bashed in just brutally. That's something you can't forget. You know, that's something that even if you were the biggest pacifist on earth, you would want to kill that other individual. You know, because we see somebody like Aaron wants to kill now. Like he's ready to kill. And Aaron, you know, when we first meet Aaron, he is super nice, super gentle. You know, he's very welcoming of everybody. He gets punched in the face.
Yeah, and Rick punches him smack in the middle of his face, and he just like, you know, okay, dude, it's fine. You know,
yeah,
whatever. If that's what it takes. Seriously, we have a community for you. Come on in.
Yeah, so, it's cool, man. It's quite all right. And you know, now after what he saw, you know, Glenn and Abraham getting killed, you know, now he is ultimately just like, Negan has to die. The saviors have to die. So I think that's the crux of the situation, is that Rick right now, he cannot remove himself from that event, which I don't think any of us could in our right minds. And I would have loved to have seen, you know, how Morgan, had he been there, how he would have reacted. Because, you know, whenever you're kind of getting it secondhand, and, you know, yes, this person died, obviously that's a tragic thing, and we all you know, deal with loss differently than one another. But if you're seeing it firsthand, it's just like a car accident, right? Like if you see that car accident and, you know, that person's right next to you, it just sticks with you for the rest of your life, probably most likely. You know, I've been lucky that hasn't happened to me, thank God. But I'm sure that, you know, people out there that have dealt with that, it's a really tragic thing. And yeah, it's hard to get it out of your mind. So I don't know. That's kind of what I thought. You know, I think that we need the Ricktatorship to get shit done right now.
Definitely.
But I also see Morgan's side of the equation. Like I see his viewpoint as well.
That's why you put them together. and make beautiful peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Exactly. You just eat it up. I love peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I don't care. I'm gonna be like 1,000 years old and I'm still eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
You are already 1,000 years old, so
don't tell me about it. My voice feels like 1,000 years old at this point. So yeah, let us know what you guys think. Do you agree with us in the sense of we don't wanna see somebody like Ben or Richard have to lose their lives in order for King Ezekiel to spring into action? Is there a way that you guys think that King Ezekiel could come over to Team Rick and join him? Maybe it's just maybe he sees something else. I think the deal going bad, as we're seeing, is about to happen in that teaser trailer.
Yeah.
I think that should be enough for him right there. It's like, this is the 2 out of 2 times
right.
where the deal has gone really shitty. It's just a matter of time before they're knocking on the kingdom's door and saying, "Let me in."
Right.
So I don't know. And then also, what do you guys think? Are you Team Morgan? Are you Team Rick, as far as the philosophies and ideologies go? So let us know all those things in that box down below or on Gmail, rampocalypse@gmail.com. And then I'm going to get in my sweet, sexy soldier voice.
Why are you getting all sexy with it, man?
How's everybody doing tonight? Let me play this jam. It came out in 1985.
That's the kind of jams I play every day.
Yeah, you do. You play the old jams. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So I think we're on to our fourth topic, and it is, why was your main man, Rick Grimes, smiling at the end of this episode? Is he crazy now? Has he gone off his rocker? Has he been out in the sun too long?
No, he is not crazy. Dude found some people, and these people look like they're ready to fight. Although are they not kind of a weird looking group to you?
To be honest, they remind me of there was the Batman comic book series. It was from oh my God, what is his name? It's Miller. Miller is his last name.
Miller.
Mr. Miller. Yeah.
Okay.
Frank mm-hmm. Miller. Frank Miller.
Oh yeah.
Same guy that did Sin City and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a Frank Miller series of comic books. They just made it into an animated series. It's like The Dark Knight Returns or something like that. I can't remember. And in it, it's like set in the 80s. And, you remember like the Ninja Turtle cartoons and mm-hmm. how 80s everybody was. They had like the weird ass haircuts and, you had that like visual representation of what everybody that was like out in the sticks thought New York was
the Max Headroom.
Exactly. And everybody's like really grungy, and I don't know. That's what these people reminded me of. The main chick totally reminds me of like a Tilda Swinton type or something. That's the vibe that I immediately got from the main chick that says, "We own your lives. You want to buy them back."
I got a very Resident Evil,
Mila Jovovich?
Yeah. Obviously, not as hot in this particular incident.
That hairstyle was not doing it for me.
No.
No, it was not.
But they all had the same weird, mostly, it seemed like everybody had their hair pulled back real slicked and where they ended up looking like they had a super big forehead. And I'm not trying to be mean.
You called it five heads.
Okay,
in
I did.
Our live watch.
Yes, but I learned that from you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. I learned that from you because you had said something about it off camera, and so I was like, yeah, it was a five head. You're right. It was a five head.
I mean, some of the girls out there that I've been attracted to in life have five heads. So it's okay. Hey, if you're out there,
yes,
you've got a five.
Exactly.
Head, all right. I might have a five hit. I don't know. Do I have a five hit? I can't tell.
I don't know. I don't want to talk about mine. I'm just saying everyone was showing. I don't know. It was just odd. I felt like everybody had a similar look. But
Hashtag moms. built like five heads.
I know, God, it's what
sorry,
it sounds like.
Sorry, guys out there, you know, all those comments that we get in the YouTube comments of like, damn MILF, ooh, man, sexy MILF.
I'm going to tell you right now, you can't see my Rick, either of the cardboard cutouts, but he definitely has a five head, if not a six head in one of them. I mean, it's just like...
Yeah,
so
Rick's got a lot of forehead going on on top there. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
like,
so obviously I like it.
When it gets hot and he like gets, you know, sweaty and he slicks it all back and everything.
So
yeah,
he I have no issue with it. I have issue.
Okay. No, I agree with you, though, that they did have a certain look about every one of them. They looked all very similar, too. It was like they had like carbon copies of the same person. Now, I did notice there was like... There was one extremely tall black dude and one extremely tall white dude that like were coming out, and I mean, like, I was like, okay, you know, is this Manute Bol and Sean Bradley coming out of this little tunnel here? Because these dudes were tall as shit. I thought they were gonna hit their head on their way out as they were coming out of that like container, because not only that, but holy crap, coolest fort base. You know, whatever you want to call it, of all time, you know, in this junkyard, this, you know, it was so awesome because they've got this container that they're just all single filing out of, basically. And I loved it. I loved everything about it. And they come into this like circle, you know, which looked like a you know, place where they're about to fight, right?
Yes, it did. I mean, it looked like a pit, you know. Yeah. I mean, they're going to throw Rick out there with somebody else, and they're going to have to fight it, you know, out to see if they'll join in. I don't know. But there was so many of them. So I can see why that would be the reason for his smile.
Yeah.
The smile still was a little odd.
Yes.
The reason I kind of felt like that Michonne had said to him earlier, you know, it's okay, you can smile. And so it's like, I think she meant, you know, at a time when we were having a win, not when a group of people all suddenly come around us and look like they're going to beat our ass. So, but it was an odd smile, but he's got a plan.
Yeah, I mean, the Ricktatorship, whenever he's in Ricktatorship mode, he does some crazy shit.
Yes, he does. He's a little crazy, so.
Yeah, he goes crazy and tries to shoot a whole town when he doesn't need to, and then he smiles when he has a whole group of people look like they're trying to kill him. Yeah, Robin said, as for Rick smiling, I think it is because he sees a bunch of potential allies in his war against Negan. Yeah, I'm on board with you guys. I think we talked about that in our review as well. He sees this group. He sees that, one, they got the jump on him really quick.
Right.
I mean, it was like they snuck out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, everybody's surrounded. They look mean as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he sees... You know, because I keep wondering if he sees somebody out in the crowd, a la Father Gabriel, and that's who he's smiling at. I don't know, like, because I wonder, you know, because right now, yes, all we have to go on is just, you know, Rick's thought process of, I need an army, I need somebody to say yes to me, you know, this door's closed, maybe this is a possibility, and another door is open for me right here. But also, maybe he saw somebody.
Well, when you say that, it just makes me laugh, the idea, you know, you've got all these people that, you know, they're coming out with their weapons, and then Father Gabriel comes out with his sweater that he's got on, you know, and, you know, he's just...
In my sweater vest.
Yeah, here I am. You know, I am the leader of these, you know, lost children, so...
Yeah, the lost boys, basically.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about them.
Yeah, they definitely had a very Peter Pan and the Lost Boys vibe. I'm anxious to see what this group brings to the table, because this is something that's not in the comic book at all. So
thank God. I am so ready for that.
Yeah, I am too. I love getting new material on the show. Hopefully it works out. You know, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's really great, though. And I'm hoping that this is one of those instances where it's something new where, you know, if you're a comic book fan, you're going to be just completely surprised. It's going to be great.
Right.
You're not going to be, you know, always constantly looking forward to that one moment that you know is coming from the comic book and seeing how it translates to the screen. So yeah, I'm very excited about this. Plus, I think you're right. I feel like that they're going to make Rick fight for either acceptance or fight to, you know, because she does say want to buy them back, because she says right. that we own your lives now. So I definitely think they're going to make Rick fight, and I think they're going to make him fight that big-ass, badass, armored walker.
That thing, I mean, how is he going to fight that? It's going to be epic if he does.
It's going to be so good.
That is the most amazing walker. That thing is just terrifying.
Yeah, it looks so badass. I mean, the mm-hmm. fact that it's, you know, it's got the helmet, it's got like bodyguard armor, and it's got the spikes and everything. Mm-hmm. I want to see this thing in action, and I ultimately hope that that is what happens with this new group, is that, you know, Rick has to prove his worth and fight this thing off. I don't think he's going to have much of a weapon to fight this thing off. Maybe mm-hmm. they give him like a crowbar, or, you know, mm-hmm. some kind of like lead pipe, or maybe it's just like a knife. Ping! Or something.
Ping! That's it, you know, hitting the side of it.
Yeah, oh yeah, I mean, yeah. We've seen that already with Abe and Eugene.
Right.
And that one was like a mini-me version of right. this badass thing. So I'm very, very excited about that. So
and I also want to know how was this thing created? Was it was it one of their warriors to begin with? Because how do you suit a walker up like that?
I have no clue how you would have suited that thing up. Yeah, you're right. Maybe it was somebody that, well, I don't know. Yeah, we need a backstory on that. I need a flashback episode of that walker's like previous life.
Yep.
That's what I was going to ask you, something that's completely aside from this. It was about King Ezekiel, and whether or not you would want to see a backstory to see what went down, what transpired. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in TV form. It could be, you know, something similar to Michonne, her backstory that we got through Telltale, or it could be like mm-hmm. a comic book one shot where we see this stuff go down, where, you know, they went to battle with the Wasted, which that's what they call them in Fear the Walking Dead too, right? Was the Wasted? I don't feel like that's been a name on The Walking Dead. I feel like that was from Fear.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like that was like a little small, you know.
It could have been.
Crossover thing. Mm-hmm. But I may be wrong. They may have used The Wasted on The Walking Dead previously. I just don't recall that, so.
I loved when he gave his story to Carol. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't mind seeing it more fleshed out. I'd love... Is it Kari? Is that how you say his
yeah,
first
Kari
name?
Yeah, Kari Payton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. Oh God, I love him so much.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, he was fantastic on The Talking Dead.
He was. He's got those big, warm eyes. I mean, it's just you want to be friends with that dude. So yeah. And you know, and obviously Ezekiel. I love his whole thing that he puts out there, and then he turns out to be this, you know, really awesome dude. And it seemed like he drop the King act a little bit with Ben when he's talking to Ben.
Yeah, I think he drops it a little bit with Ben, not completely,
right?
But I, you know, he definitely, you know, he looks at Ben as this is his son, you know, or mm-hmm. this is somebody that he's going to, you know, bring up in life, teach him things, teach him values, that kind of stuff. And that's one of the other reasons why I wouldn't mind seeing something with that backstory of all the people that they lost. You know, the kid over there shooting the bow that had
right.
you know, his arm missing and everything, because we would get to see Ben's dad, because that's where Ben's dad was lost. So
right.
I think it would be neat. I think it would be really neat to see that. I think King Ezekiel is a character that, to me, hasn't been explored all that much in the comics, the TV show, the games, obviously, as much. So I think it'd be fun. Mm-hmm. And I like him so much more on the TV show than I did in the comic books. than I ever really did in comic books. Yeah, I mean, he was good for a little bit in the comic books, and then he just didn't really do it for me as much in the comic books. I don't know if other people feel that way, but yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely loving him on the show. I hope he gets to stay around for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Kari Payton, he's the man. I absolutely loved him on The Talking Dead this week. I thought that pairing was really great because I like D'Angelo Williams a lot as well. I thought he was just like this awesome super fan. And,
yes, you know, and he was hilarious when he was watching the packages and seeing that the actors were British. He's oh my God, what?
Yeah, who, what? I didn't know he was British. Mr. Midnight said this about the new group. Do you think any of these new kids are children of the Oceanside community who escaped and couldn't find their old home? Because Oceanside, as we know, went into hiding amongst the trees. Mm-hmm. If so, I think our group links them back together with the bracelet Cindy gave Tara. One of them might recognize the bracelet style, or it might have a symbol of Oceanside on it. So what do you think about this? Do you think that could have any links back to the Oceanside community? Because I do think that would be very cool, and I really, mm-hmm. really want Oceanside to be tied back in to the broader group's perspective on the show, because I think that they had a really interesting place, and the fact that they were all women, I think that was really cool.
It was very cool. I don't know that the Oceanside could ever play like a huge part in at this point, but if it made it where it was the bracelet that made it where this huge group was accepting, because they're oh my God, they see it on Tara, because of course Tara's gonna, you know, she's always gonna be the peacemaker. She would she'd be out there, you know, we don't have to do this, and there's the bracelet. And you know, so I think that could be a really cool tie-in and make it where that story meant something. I'm on board with that theory.
I am too. I think it's an interesting theory, and I think you're right too that Oceanside probably not going to play a huge role, but I think Cindy could play a very big role on the show, and I would be very excited to see her, you know, come into the group. I think mm-hmm. she'd be a nice, interesting character to add to the group. And you're right, yeah, Tara definitely the peacemaker, and I could see she flashes the bracelet, not on purpose, but know, as she's like, no, don't do this, blah blah blah, or something. Because I think that would be a cool way to spur Oceanside into action is the fact that some of these people might, you know, obviously be related to those people or know some of the Oceanside community. And I think it would be a cool thing. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I'm really excited to just find out what the hell's going on with this new group, what role they're going to play. The fact that we have a whole lot of communities sometimes worries me, because we're just like, you know, we're picking new ones up, seems like left and right.
Right.
And like the Oceanside, it's like, will we ever get back to them? And there was a whole crap ton of these people in the Junkyard Gang. So how are we going to get any time with them with such a large ensemble cast? But that being said, I am excited about it. A little bit worried. Yeah. You know, how they're going to, you know, sprinkle everybody all around.
Right.
But overall, I'm very excited about the new group and seeing Rick Grimes fight that badass Walker. That's going to be the shit.
That will be the shit. And it'll be nice because, I mean, they've got all those characters that we don't know their name. And if they go to battle with Negan, it won't hurt me as bad if they're killed.
Yeah, that's the first thing I was thinking. I was like, well, that means they can have lots of deaths.
Yes.
And, you know, for you, you need Negan to kill a lot of people for your Zompocalypse Fantasy 5 team. Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, I say let's get into our discussion really quickly on that. This will be quick for you guys, but we wanted to go through an update on how Bad Bitches and a Dixon is doing versus My Two Dads. So luckily for us, you had Rick Grimes and I had Michonne.
Right.
And according to the story sync, we got 150 freaking Walker kills out of this episode. Thank you, Nicotero, and everybody for that amazingly awesome, badass Walker kills, because I mean, if you don't have Rick or Michonne, I don't know what you were doing with your picks.
I don't know how you'll ever catch up with us at this point.
No.
I mean, you know, we've got 150 points apiece. Mm-hmm. And I was curious about this. I mean, I know we watched the episode together, but I didn't ask you. You're not a fan of the point of view camera. And when it gets gore and stuff on it. And obviously, you know, they had, that was a huge part of those Walker kills, was you had that point of view camera right there in the middle, then just slop, clop, slop, slop, slop. You know, I was just curious how you felt about it.
It didn't bother me too much. Now, that being said, I kind of wish that we may have gotten like some more close-ups on some, like, you know, because obviously I did see the behind the scenes of Nicotero putting it together. I think they talked about it in The Talking Dead, and it was a lot of animated stuff, you know, the CGI type of work.
You mean they didn't chop those people in half?
I know, all those extras, they didn't tell them beforehand that, hey, this is going to be your last day on set.
Hey, you want to be on The Walking Dead?
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a great time for you to be on The Walking Dead.
The best episode ever.
Yeah, you're going to go down in history. I kind of wish they may have had, like, and maybe they did, I just didn't notice it, but maybe some more practical effects with it too, like to see, maybe it's like one or two individual walkers, like basically exploding as the chain, you know, went through them or something, coupling it with the all in your face, blood all over the camera type technique. Overall, it didn't bother me. It wasn't that big of a deal. It was such a cool thing. You know, yes, it is out of the realm of practicality. And you got to, I guess, have a little suspension of disbelief there. But I don't give a shit. Like,
yeah,
that was fun.
It was super fun.
Yeah, super awesome. Like, how could you imagine being in the writer's room for that? You know, it's like, all right, guys, what can we do to just like completely one up the shit out of ourselves?
All right, they say that every week.
Yeah, they do say it every week. But it was a really really badass kill, and I really liked Greg Nicotero's explanation to D'Angelo Williams in The Talking Dead, because he was like, "How did they know there was gas in the, you know, those cars?"
Yes, yeah, and he had the answer.
Yeah, he had a reason for it.
Yes,
which was great. You know, I like to know that they're thinking things through when they do them. You know,
well,
yes, it's fantasy, but still, it's nice.
Yeah, but that was a question that I had as well, mm-hmm. because you know, here you see Rick and Michonne both expecting that they're going to be able to jump these cars off, hotwire them, excuse me, and that they're going to go immediately. Yeah. Why would you even think at this point that there would be gas in an automobile, you know, a couple of years into the zombie apocalypse? Well, because the saviors had moved those cars up there. So they had just done that. So that's why there was gas in it. So I love that he immediately jumped on there and had the answer. So,
yeah, no, I thought it was great as well. So going over our Fantasy Five teams, I have Daryl Dixon. He didn't get any points in this episode. Michonne got 150. Rosita, did she get any points? I mean, she did. Technically, she saved Tara in this episode. Do we get points for saving teammates?
No.
Damn it. I mean, and not only did she save teammates, but she exploded a lot of them by leaving that explosive dynamite there. Mm-hmm. I think I'm getting bullshitted on some points here.
I'm smelling bullshit from your speech here, because
I don't smell
she did
bullshit back there.
Yeah. Well, you're not smelling what I'm smelling, man. She just put it on down to the side. That's all she did. So, and technically, if you think about it, I had Rick is on my team, and it was Rick's idea to drive the cars through that herd. So those should be my points.
But if he didn't have his, you know, his main lady, wouldn't have killed. If it was just Rick driving the car,
he would have put
shit.
Carl in there, and And yeah, then just, I would have got all the points.
You messed up. He should have put Carl in there. So, yeah, for me, Rosita apparently didn't get any points. Bullshit. Maggie, no points. And Shiva has not gone on her feeding frenzy quite yet.
Damn it.
She will. So how did your team do again?
Well, okay, so my team is Rick and Carl and Negan and Dwight. Now, I mean, I don't know what Negan was doing. I mean, he might have been. He might have been
a eulogy for Fat Joey. That's what he was doing.
And I also have Richard. So the only one that killed anybody was Rick. So.
All right. So out of episode 9, we both got 150 points.
Yes, we both have 150. So,
all right. Well, there
it's
going
to be
go.
Sad that I'm going to have to hope that Michonne dies for my team to win.
Bullshit. Michonne will never die. Never.
I know. Yeah, that'd be too sad for Rick anyway.
It would be very sad for Ricky Grimes if that was to happen. So, yeah. All right. So there we go. Bad Bitches and a Dixon with 150 points and my two dads with 150 points. Me and my moms, we're tied up after the end of the episode. You better hope Richard doesn't die next week.
I know. Or that the writers decide that they're actually going to let that CG tiger kill somebody.
Yeah, you better hope that doesn't happen next week. I can see Richard might get a kill in of a savior. Yeah, and as we change the rules for our portion of the game, that's plus 3 points.
Right.
But if he dies, I don't know. That's minus some points. I can't remember how many points that is.
It's not minus anything. It just means I don't continue to.
That's true.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, you could lose a point because if it's an injury to a team member, it must be visible, i.e. blood, bruise, limp, bandage in that episode. I think if you get killed, that's an injury. So.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into a little bit of listener. Let's get into some listener feedback.
Uh-huh. Do we have any listener feedback left? I thought, you know, we pretty much covered it all.
We do. We got a little bit of listener feedback. We've got one from, I wish you could tell me how to pronounce her name, because it could be Tanya or it could be Tanya, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know
it's
either.
It's tough. It's tough to go. You could go either way with that name.
Yes, you could.
So she said, back in earlier shows, Lori got on my nerves for numerous reasons, but number one was her questioning of Rick Grimes when he would just do his job. He was a sheriff, hence in harm's way daily. Now Eric has stepped into that position and is annoying in the same way. Aaron has said repeatedly that he's been in tougher spots with warlords in foreign countries. Certainly he shared his experiences with his partner. Why is Eric now trying to stop Aaron from being who he is? The dynamic leaves me to think Eric will do something stupid in the future.
It could be Eric that does the dumb stuff. It could be.
Could he backstab him? Could he betray them and let it slip to Negan?
Well, I mean, it could be that thinking that he's helping his sweetheart out.
Yeah.
By stopping Rick, that maybe he's the one that lets Negan know what's going on, which would totally suck. But
I would be pissed.
Yeah, I think
I would be super pissed if Eric did that. You know, I like Eric as a character. You know, he doesn't get much play on the show.
Right. No.
But you know he.
And I'm just gonna have to say this: he's dating above his pay grade. he is, because Aaron is hot. So,
oh my god, you know, mom, you're so mean.
I don't mean to be, but I mean, come on, you know. So, what if Aaron and Daryl got together? Now that's a hot team.
That's a hot couple right there.
Yeah, that is a hot couple.
I don't know. I think Richard might be some competition because in the teaser trailer for next week, I see Richard's like, we can work together. We need each other. He said, but when he said we need each other, he was like, we need each other, baby. I need
like this.
You.
We need
each other. Yeah, and then he's like, I'm going to need your back as I give you a massage.
Oh, my gosh. I feel
so... You sexy Daryl with,
I'm
your,
so
with your sexy
so bad.
Dirt sweat.
I feel so bad. Eric is a really... He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he is a nice guy. Yeah. And then I'm going to go over to the YouTubes. Alien Hunter said... I wanted to smack Gregory, wanted to flat out kill Gabriel, and I actually yelled at my TV, oh, shut up, Morgan. that's pretty funny. Rosita seemed a bit unnecessarily bitchy to Sasha, considering Sasha's probably a dead woman walking. Also, yeah, so, I mean, I hate thinking about Sasha is going to die just because she's on the Star Trek show, but there's a lot of... Seems like a lot of signs pointing to maybe that might be happening, and I really hate to see that. And we already you know, kind of talked about Rosita and Sasha, and it was a little bit out of character for Rosita.
Right, right.
It is kind of weird thinking about what happened in episode 8 with Rosita, you know, directly leading to Olivia's death.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. I get, you know, she's kind of in one of those tailspins right now that we've seen somebody like Rick go on before,
right.
Where you know he doesn't really think before he acts, and I think that's what's going on with Rosita right now. So, you know, it is what it is for Rosita. So,
yeah, she's not in a good mood.
Yeah, she's definitely not in a good mood.
And someone did point out, and I think it might have been on YouTube. You're looking at it now, so you'll probably see who it is. But and I didn't think about this. I was thinking that it was completely uncharacteristic for her to be so mean in this past episode, that like she was to Sasha. But she has been kind of mean lately.
Yeah.
She's mean to Eugene. I mean, just ripped him a new one. Poor Eugene. You know. Telling him that he's worthless, that, you know, you can't fight, you know.
Yeah, he's definitely had a few new assholes ripped via Rosita. That's definitely very true. We got a couple comments. Forbes always gives The Walking Dead a horrible review. Literally every review is bad. It's a running joke. And then I did love Alien Hunter's comment about Forbes. Had to pause the video at 3:15 so I could comment. Forbes doesn't like any episode that isn't super violent, because then they can report on how violent the episode
right.
was. In other words, fuck Forbes.
Hashtag.
Yes.
Fuck
hashtag
Forbes.
Fuck Forbes.
Yeah.
This is like a total... I'm going to get on a little tangent here real quick, and I'll try to be very brief about it. And I don't know. I don't even know if a lot of our, people that watch our videos, a lot of you guys that watch our videos on YouTube or listen to our podcasts, even watch PewDiePie or, you know, even give two craps about PewDiePie.
The only way you don't give two craps about PewDiePie is if you don't watch PewDiePie.
That's very true. I feel it's very weird for me right now. I feel in some way, in some vein, and obviously, you know, I know that this isn't a true comparison, but I feel like PewDiePie right now is sort of the equivalent of how Howard Stern was earlier in his career,
mm-hmm.
where he was very misunderstood, and then how he is right now, too, because where, like you said, if you don't watch PewDiePie, you don't give two craps, and you're like, he's the worst person, you know, he's so stupid, how did he
right.
get all this money, blah, 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 whatever, and that's kind of like how Howard Stern is. I see
right.
so many people when I tell them, especially at places where I work at,
yeah.
where I'm just like, what? Did you get brainwashed? Can you just not have fun for, you know, you walk into a corporate building and you're like, I am now the non-fun person.
Yeah.
I am a robot. Because I'll tell people, yeah, I love Howard Stern. He's so, mm-hmm. he's so good. He has the best interviews. And they're like, they
I
like
know.
Look at me like I'm pawn scum or
you,
some shit.
Well, you should see it when it comes out of my mouth.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, totally, you're totally out of Howard Stern's demo. Well, bullshit. He's, you know, closer to my age than he is yours. You know.
Yeah, and he's great with
he
women.
Is.
Like, you know, look
he does
at,
some
look at...
he does some horrible things, obviously.
Well, yeah, yes.
But he you're right. He's one of the best interviewers ever.
Yeah, one of the best interviewers ever. Not this has nothing to do with PewDiePie in the sense of I don't think PewDiePie is a great interviewer and you know,
we don't know that.
I have no clue about that. Mm-hmm. But what this does have to do with is, you know, we're talking about Forbes and the fact that, you know, I read that article's headline in our review, and it was like, you know, Walking Dead comes back to the most disastrous mid-season premiere of all time.
Right.
And it's like these just freaking just these headlines. They're trying to get these tantalizing clickbait headlines, which, you know, hey, we understand that you got to have clickbait headlines because we do it on our YouTube stuff. It's not that we don't clickbait in the sense of we don't put something in the headline that we're not talking about
right.
in the video.
Right.
We talk about everything that we put in our titles and whatnot. But yeah, sometimes we're a little bit sensationalist with it. You know, I think I put one along the lines here recently about what was it? Oh, does Scott Gimple need to go? And I put that, you know, in the title, put it on a thumbnail. And yes, that is a sensationalist title. That's a clickbait title. But we talked about it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that we hate Scott Gimple. Like,
no.
Holy shit. Like, we've praised Scott Gimple for many, many years. But anyways, the Wall Street Journal came out and, like, just roasted PewDiePie and, like, just threw all these accusations at him, slandered him, you know. And at this point, to me, I feel like he has a defamation lawsuit on his hands that he could totally just sue the shit out of Wall Street Journal because they went through all of his stuff and just, like, cherry-picked little bits and pieces of his videos and made it to where he's like a Nazi or some shit.
Right.
And oh my God, it's like the dumbest thing ever. And I don't even know where I got on this. I think it's because of the Forbes thing and the fact
I think so too. Yeah.
Alien Hunter was talking
right.
about that they're always like, you know, The Walking Dead's the worst. Everything.
Well,
they want those clicks.
What happened is with the Wall Street Journal, because of all this shit that they did, they made it where Disney has now dropped PewDiePie. PewDiePie had a show that was on a network that was affiliated with Disney that was called PewDiePie, I think. Or...
It's YouTube. No, YouTube dropped
right.
this show.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
well,
YouTube
right.
Red is like the premium
right.
service is where they like...
And it's owned by Disney.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, yeah, and his network dropped him because of this shit. And it's like you go back and watch these videos and you get the context of what the hell he was talking about. And you're just like... You're supposed to be the Wall Street Journal here, something similar to Forbes. Why the fuck is Forbes writing about The Walking Dead anyway? Like,
right.
who the shit cares about what Forbes has to say
right.
about The Walking Dead? You know, it's because they have eyes on their stuff, and they get lots of clicks, and they get even more clicks whenever they're, you know, the complete polar opposite of what the majority of The Walking Dead fan base is. Because we feed into that, you know, if it's like, this episode was pieces of shit, and then you're going to have Walking Dead fans that are going to go on their website and click on the article, and so
right.
they can comment, like, you guys suck, you guys are losers. But the end result is... We've clicked on it.
Mm-hmm.
We've given them the ad revenue.
Right.
And it's just like Wall Street Journal. You have to pay Wall Street Journal to even look at their articles, I think, these days. Or something. It's something crazy. I don't know. But I don't know. I felt like I had to bring this up for whatever reason, I guess, to get it off my chest because I see so many people like talking shit about PewDiePie at this point.
That whole thing today. I mean, I because he released a video today about, you know, his response to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I like the dude. I like him a lot. And he does say things that make you go, oh shit, did he just say that? Or did he just do that? But that's what makes it interesting. That's what, I mean, if we all do the exact same thing, it's pretty freaking boring. And obviously YouTube owes their freaking channel to PewDiePie.
No doubt about it. Whenever you have 53 million subscribers, and the greatest thing about it is that video that you're talking about, it was, you know, people were overwhelmingly positive about it. I mean, when I saw it, it had 466,000 views, had 205,000 thumbs up, and only 1,000 thumbs down, which you're always going to get those trolls that thumbs your stuff down right. no matter what. Right. Like, it could be the best thing that, you know, just comedic gold or, mm-hmm. you know, insightful or whatever, and some, you know, somebody out there is going to be like, oh, that shit sucked. You're terrible. Get off YouTube. And you're like, well, you go make a YouTube video, you asshole. So, but yeah, I mean, we're a small YouTube channel, but I'm definitely, you know, all about, I think whatever the hashtag is, hashtag I'm with PewDiePie or whatever, right, whatever right. the hell it is, because yeah. If you definitely watch the guy's videos now, yes, it's just like with Howard Stern. All you know about him is that he's the dumbass guy that's like screaming in video game videos, and you know, then that's all you know about him. But when you watch his stuff on I don't watch his stuff on a daily basis.
I do. I watch every damn video he uploads.
I know you. My mom's got a crush on him. And PewDiePie.
I love it. I love PewDiePie.
If you're watching this video right now, which I know, you know, that you might, you know, of yeah. course, because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You wanted to see the world's greatest mother and son Walking Dead podcast team and YouTube team mm-hmm. Talking about you and how big of a crush my mom has on you. I know you got a girlfriend, but, you know.
She's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just, a, you know. You know, Marcia's all right and everything.
Yeah. Oh,
but
my mom knows her.
I know her name. I know her name.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, you know, just give my mom a call, take her out to, you know, a nice little dinner one
yeah,
time. You
yeah,
know,
just
all,
once.
That's all that her son asks. You know, we support you, PewDiePie.
Yes. And I even said I liked your new hair color.
Oh, not, God. There was,
yeah. So.
Wow. I don't know many people that like that new hair color.
Exactly. I'm just saying.
But my mom does, PewDiePie. She loves your new hair color. So.
Yeah.
That means a lot to him, I'm sure. So,
I'm sure
all right.
It does.
Well, I don't know where that. I mean, you came.
I think it's time to wrap
wreck.
This stuff
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're definitely wrapping this up. We may not even put that in the podcast, but for the YouTube video, we're definitely going to have that in there because, yeah. You know, we are YouTubers. No matter how small our channel mm-hmm. is, and yeah, whenever you got mainstream media. Or Main Street
too.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're mm-hmm. on Main Street, you mm-hmm. bastards. But yeah, whenever you see mainstream media just like do shit like this, I mean, they have all the money already. Like they got all the damn money, and it, you know, PewDiePie, to me, he's like a self-made person. Like,
yes, he is.
He sat in front of a camera and got 53 million subscribers. Like that is a fucking amazing. And yeah, and we could wish for. What, a tenth of that? Or
no, not a, well, a tenth of it would be great.
Yeah.
A 100th of it. Let's
yeah,
see.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
A 1/1,000,000th of it. Yeah,
exactly.
Actually, I think we're already there for that.
I think we're there. We're at that part. Yeah,
I think we're there at that part. I think, yeah. But yeah, you guys get the point.
We don't do no math.
Yeah, we don't do math well. All right. Well, that is an extremely long rant. I said I was going to be short and brief about that, but. If you've ever watched any of our stuff or listened to any of our stuff,
you know that's not true.
So, and if we offended you because you're somehow upset with PewDiePie, just I would say, just kind of look at all the facts and look at the context with everything. So,
yes.
Or if you don't even give a shit, you probably turned it off already by now. Anyway, so.
Yeah, and left a negative comment thumbs down, which is fine.
Yeah, that's cool. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, all right. Well, let us know all your thoughts on this week's episode of The Walking Dead. You can email us. It's rantpocalypse@gmail.com. Or you can put your thoughts all down there in the little comment box below. And I hope we get better by episode 10 because I'm tired of not feeling great every day.
I hope so too.
Yes, me as well. And cheers, everybody.
Yeah,
bye.
Cheers.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. And if I share with tell you something, all that glitters ain't gold. Hey, hey, it's been a long long old